This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
You know, I think this has got to be the fastest half hour of the week for me on the show because we get into book talk with Ryan here in a moment. We have the conversation with sports. You all know I'm all about that. Welcome back to Kelly and Ramya. Today, Grant Hardy sitting in with me. He is at the home studio in Vancouver. Kelly McDonald here at the home studio in London, Ontario.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Our Friday's show, I just really dig the vibes. It's chill. It's fun.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, one thing that's fun about it, which we're going to get into now, is the Chatty Bookshelf, where we talk all things audiobooks. Let's bring on Ryan Hooey.
Who knew an entire library could fit inside your pocket? I'm Ryan Hooey. This is the Chatty Bookshelf, where we talk audiobook trends, news, and author interviews.
Yeah, there is that. We've gone from the era where you've got like massive tape cases or 30 volumes of Braille to now having everything in our pocket. And that's why I really dig talking audiobook news with you every Friday. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm really pumped to be back.
All right. Let's start with the latest news for Harry Potter super fans. What can they look forward to?
Really interesting. And I love the idea here. And I will be the first to say I've never listened to one of the audiobooks or watched one of the movies. I'm probably one of the few, and I probably just lost a lot of listeners. But they are actually creating in early 2025 a full cast production of all, I believe it's 7 books. So they're going to start from book one and move forward and do every single book with a full cast. The details are a little scarce at this point, but here's what we know so far. It is between Audible, who will be the sole publisher, and then Pottermore Media, which I don't know, sounds kind of cool. Harry Potter by Pottermore Media. There is going to be over 100 voices used, 100 voice actors or actresses used to voice every single character, which is kind of cool. And that kind of perked my ears up. Maybe this is the adventure I have to go into because they're set to look completely different. Like, they're not changing the story at all. However, the production and the sounds and everything else is kind of set to be a little bit different than the two versions that are out right now, which is kind of cool when you think about it. I mean, Audible is super pumped because these books have been listened to for over 1 billion hours, if you can believe that. Like 1 billion with a B. Like, that's crazy since they were released.
That's insane.
So obviously it's popular. And I was just wondering about your guys' thoughts. Is this been there, done that? Or is this something that could be pretty cool? And I'm sad Ramya's not here because I know she'd be super jacked about it.
Yeah, Ramya's definitely Harry Potter. I lived and breathed Harry Potter when I was growing up. I really, really did. Ramya could tell you it was to the point where I could literally like quote from the books, like someone could turn to a page and I would know what's happening. As I've gotten older. Oh, yeah.
Mainly movies and stuff, but she loved the books.
Fair enough. As I've gotten older, I've been less inclined to read or like kind of support the franchise too, just because of some of the problematic things related to the author. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like a very creative endeavor, and would be curious to hear what those different voices would sound like. So I guess for me, maybe. How about you, Kelly?
I don't think so. I mean, if I haven't watched the movies, well, I have watched the movies. I have read most of the first book that came out years ago, and I couldn't grab onto it. I love the idea of what they're doing. I think it's tremendous. 100 actors. I don't think it's for me. It may be something I check out just because I really love the idea of the full cast. I also, Ryan, am curious when we say it's going to be different, how the Potter fans feel about that. I know I don't necessarily love remakes, right? Things change. And I understand if you're making a full cast, I don't care what anyone says, you're making a movie, making a radio drama, whatever you want to call it, radio play. It's going to sound, it has to be written different. How do you change it? Are you changing it in era, in timing, in some, or just because some things have to change because now we have an actual cast as opposed to some description from narration and things like that? Any idea of that and how Potter fans are taking that?
So I would assume just by the sheer volume and the amount of people that are going to be involved, you know, doing the voices, it would have to be more play-like than it is audiobook where, you know, hey, Ryan is voicing all of chapter one, Kelly's voicing all of chapter two. Like, you can only do so many, but it has to be written more like a play where it's Ryan's line, Kelly's line, Kelly's line, Ryan's line, I would almost think that it would have to be something like that. If there's 100 voices, and they didn't say if there's 100 voices in each book or if there's 100 voices included in all seven. So that's one thing to kind of consider too.
It's got to have a soundscape or something else. It wouldn't make sense just to have, a voice saying whatever, and then you go back to the narrator, said Professor McGonagall, like that.
And I think you're going to have that as you walk up to places. Hello, sir. Hello. And that person may only do that, and that's it in the whole story. Ryan, does this grab you?
Do you know what? If I'm going to venture into the Harry Potter series, this is probably be it, to be honest. I don't have, I don't want to say I don't have the time, but I mean, to divulge for seven books, that's a long time. I would have to absolutely fall in love quick with book one. if not, I don't see myself getting into it too much.
Okay. I'm anxious for what you see online, especially with the changes, especially as things get leaked out where people get more of an idea. What has changed? What does this new look mean? Speaking of new look,
Audible has teased that there's going to be a tremendous amount of teasers coming. So I guess they said in the fall and onwards.
Good. Well, I guess they want to get into that before it gets too deep and everything like that. But also so pre-orders can start to happen. What's the other huge story making news on social?
Oh, it's so bittersweet for me. This one's a little bit sad, guys. So for the last number of years, we all look forward to Audiobook Sync, and it would be released right around this time. And it's a summer reading program, which gave you two free audiobooks each week for anywhere from 14 to 16 weeks for a total of about 32 books per year that you got to keep and listen to anytime you wanted to, as many times as you wanted to. But sadly, after 14 years, it's coming to an end. It's really, this program has meant a lot to me just as an audiobook fan, as a promotion for us on the show, just looking at it and just the things that it's done to summer reading. It's made it fun for kids, whether they're teens, whether they're younger kids. Families have brought these on road trips. Kids have been like, I'm gonna listen while I'm outside instead of, you know, bringing the book everywhere with them. And it's kind of preached and promoted. Listening is the same as reading, and that's what I like most. It's put this forward as an alternative kind of to, you know, printed word, and it's made it accessible for anybody that wants to listen to these. And it's just been such a great program, and I'm really sad to see it go.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, you know, getting the tape in the mail or the book in the mail, and it literally felt like a little gift, and it made reading kind of fun and exciting. So I can see why people are sad about this. Do we know why it's going away, or just kind of like business logistics?
I would assume it's probably maybe not enough time on the people, because I know it's just a handful of people doing this, or maybe there's funding, maybe the publishers got off board, because there was almost about 30 or so publishers that were we can give you this book or do this and the donations, that sort of thing. To be frank, there was 350 books featured over the 14 years. There was about just over 70,000 people signed up. So that's significant. And then they even went worldwide for the past 3 or 4 years, depending on how you're looking at it, with the pandemic. And they said it's kind of hard to gauge the amount of downloads and the amount of participation because of the changes over the years. However, it has just been about 1.4 million downloads. So that could be me downloading the book three times, but that's a lot.
That's incredible. And I mean, there was a lot of powerful books. It wasn't like just a handout of, you know, here's something that doesn't move. You had Hunger Games and a lot of really fantastic narrators there. Jim Dale, Catherine Kelligan, Julia Whalen, Stephen Fry. Yeah. Some really powerful people.
And then even the biggest book would probably be The Hunger Games. They featured book one of The Hunger Games. Right? So they got some pretty good books there, right? And there was anything contemporary, young adult, nonfiction at some point. So there was a lot going on there, too.
So you guys both have experience with this.
No, I have this guy telling us all the amazing things about it, right? We have talked about it so much. And when I saw that this was a discussion point, Ryan, it was a shocking one. And I understand things evolve. I understand things get almost out of control or we move resources elsewhere. But for you and the meaningfulness of it, I think it got young people into audiobooks.
I think it did. And, you know, back to your question a little, a couple of minutes ago, you know, just a few months ago, they were super excited about, you know, it being, you know, 14 years and it's going to be bigger and better than ever. And then all of a sudden it's just released this week was this news that unfortunately we're not having, won't continue anymore. So Audiobooks Inc. is kind of defunct. I mean, if I look at it on the bright side of things, I hope that people have learned and people can see what a great program this is. It's really become the number one summer reading tool for kids worldwide, whether you call it reading, listening, whatever you want to call it. But I hope someone can take from this and make an even bigger and better Audiobook Sync, like 2.0 kind of thing, because yeah, I will jump on board because I've done it for, I'd say, at least the past 9 years.
I got to say, we've had the discussion, and Grant, please weigh in on this. We've had the discussion on the show before about is audiobook listening reading? And I think we've long passed that now. We know, people aren't saying that. Teachers would say, go home, pick up a book, read it for us in Braille or large print or print. Just read to better your skills. And we understand that. We know what that gives us. But there was such a no, don't be listening to an audiobook. And this is how I grew up, being told that wasn't the book that counted for the book report. It was the one I had to read in Braille to develop my reading skills. Got that. I understand that. But it left you with that feeling if someone said, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm listening to a book. Almost as if it didn't count. And Grant, I don't know what your life experience was with that, because I know for me, someone who may not have been the strongest speller, but my speaking, the word understanding, my diction and stuff like that was made so much better, allowing me to be a better communicator.
And we're talking like 10 years ago, people would compare it to, oh, listening to an audiobook's like watching TV. You're not getting anything out of it. And we know it's different now, right? And that's what I like about this is that parents and teachers, there was probably some pushback when this first came out. It's like, oh, you can't listen over the summer. Like Kelly said, you have to read the book.
Yeah.
However, it quickly turned around and was like, wow, we see the benefits in this after even 2 years or so. And kids were actually progressing. And I love that audiobooks help me pronounce words correctly. Maybe the spelling isn't there, but isn't learned from audiobooks, but you know, you get the pronunciation, you get that listening up. And I think it does wonders.
Building up your thesaurus.
Yeah. Yes. You know what I think is really fascinating actually about the visual community, the sighted community, is there's so much distraction around visually that it actually takes people practice to listen to an audiobook, because you'll listen for a minute and like, oh my gosh, I was looking at this random whatever, whatever outside the window. I got to go back up. And I think actually, yes, reading is an incredibly important skill, of course, but I think the multi-sensory is really important, and being able to work on with someone so that you can be on a road trip, or, you know, in the car, on the bus, whatever, and like have someone be able to focus on an audiobook is just really, really very helpful. So I think for kids, I would say that multi-sensory, yes, reading a book, but other senses are really important as well. That's unfortunate that this is shutting down. Hopefully there will be some alternatives. We're kind of tight on time here, so I'm going to say goodbye there. But thanks so much for coming on, and we're looking forward to chatting with you next Friday and every Friday on the Chatty Bookshelf.
Thanks so much, guys. And I just picked up The Legacies by Jessica Goodman, and it is fantastic, guys. So check that one out.
Absolutely. Take care. Chat soon. Ryan Huey joins us, as I mentioned, all Fridays at this time for the Chatty Bookshelf.
On the other side of the break, when we return in about 2 minutes, folks, we're going to revisit and weigh in on some conversations we had over the past week. We call the segment Cut for Time. We hope you can stick around. Be with us. Some interesting things for your podcast listening in case you haven't had a lot of time to be with us through the week. We'll get into that with Laura Bain after this.
It's fun, insightful, and inclusive. Kelly and Ramya return in a minute.
Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.